RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Consumers' perception on June's economy declines. Credit growth reaches 11 to 13% this year. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. Bank Indonesia said that consumers' perception of the country's economic condition in June 2015 has dropped compared to the previous one based on a survey published by Bank Indonesia, the central bank. The survey indicated that the economic condition index, IKE, in June 2015 stood at 100.3, decreasing by 2.3 points from 102.6 in the previous month. Bank Indonesia reported, as quoted by business.com recently, the decreasing in IKE in June 2015 was caused by weakening in all of its components. Despite the Ramadan month, consumers still refrain to purchase long-lasting goods, such as electronics, vehicles, household equipment, in June 2015. In addition, the sluggish economy also resulted in low labor absorption, which in turn caused consumers' perception of job availability to drop. June's IKE has dropped in 10 cities, particularly in Palembang, with the biggest decline of minus 25.6 points, followed by Banjarmasin with minus 11.4 points. Bank Indonesia also reported that the biggest IKA. Bank Indonesia also reported that the biggest economic condition index decline occurred among respondents with 1 million to 2 million rupiahs per month. Bank Indonesia estimated that credit growth in 2015 will reach 11 to 13% or lower than the previous forecast, which was at 15 to 17%. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo in Jakarta on Friday said that disbursement of the government's budget for a number of projects would help boost credit growth in the second quarter of this year. He said Bank Indonesia credit growth is still at 10 to 11%. We hope that in the second semester, when the government's budget has been disbursed, the growth will be higher, he said. Bank Indonesia hopes it will reach 11 to 13%. Based on the data in May 2015, credit that has been channeled by the bank is reported to reach 3,792.8 trillion rupiahs, or grows by 10.3%. Head of the Pekanbaru Meteorology, Klimatology and Geophysics Office Sugarin stated in Pekanbaru on Saturday, the Terra and Aqua satellites detected 36 hotspots, indicating forest and plantation fires across Sumatra Island on Saturday morning. There are 11 hotspots in Jambi Province, 10 in Riau, 9 in South Sumatra, 2 each in Aceh and Lampung, and 1 each in North Sumatra and West Sumatra. He added, in Riau Province, 7 of the 10 hotspots were found in Indragiri Hulu District. Riau was shrouded in haze, including smoke from the neighboring provinces of Jambi and South Sumatra. From Friday evening till Saturday morning, while visibility in Pekanbaru, Pelalawan, and Rengat dropped to 3 to 5 kilometers, it dropped drastically to 1 kilometer due to haze in Dumai. Sugarin affirmed, however, flights to and from Sultan Sharif Kasim II Airport in Pekanbaru have not been affected so far. He further noted that the Air Quality Standard Index in 6 regions in Riau indicated that the air quality was moderate. Judging from the directions of the winds, Sugiran predicted that the haze may be blown across Malacca Strait to Malaysia and Singapore. Australian airline Virgin Airlines cancelled flights on Saturday to Bali from a number of cities in that country on fear of problems caused by volcanic ashes spewed by Mount Raung in East Java. On Thursday night, another Australian airline, Jetstar, already cancelled 6 scheduled flights to Bali from the same reason, but on Friday it resumed normal flight to Bali. The 3,332-meters volcano in the district of Bondowoso has shown activities lately, with explosions sending black volcanic ashes soaring to the air over a wide area, including part of Bali. Trikora Harjo, general manager of state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura I, Bandara I Gusti Ngurah Rai, Bali, said, Virgin Airlines cancelled flights from a number of cities in Australia on Saturday. Trikora said in Denpasar on Saturday, the airline cancelled 7 flights to Bali from Melbourne, Sydney, Perth and Cairns and from Singapore. He said there has been no domestic flight cancelled to Bali, but most aircraft made a detour more to the north or more to the south at a height of around 22,400 feet from the sea level to be away from the volcanic ashes. Meanwhile, people in the district of Bondowoso continued their normal activities despite the explosions, but they have warned to remain on alert. To anticipate the surge in a number of passengers during the Eid al-Fitr holiday this year, a number of airlines at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport will prepare additional flights and seats. At least 128 extra domestic flights and international flights will be available starting 14 days before and 10 days after the Eid al-Fitr day. Soekarno-Hatta Airport Senior General Manager Joel Fahmi on Saturday said that in total there would be 24,940 extra seats available, which consist of 107 extra flights. They are provided by Batik Air, 43 flights, CityLink 11 flights, Garuda Indonesia 17 flights, Air Asia 1 flight, Lion Air 24 flights, and Sriwijaya Air 11 flights. For international flights, 21 extra flights with 4,970 seats will be available. They will be provided by Cathay Pacific 4 flights, Garuda Indonesia 10 flights, Jetstar 1 flight, Singapore Airlines 5 flights, and Qantas 1 flight. Well, listener, that was the news.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome to News from Across the Country. And this week, I'm Rahma, presenting you the first news comes from Bogor, West Java. Tens of people in Cimanggu Wates, Kedung Jaya Subdistrict Bogor, West Java, on Monday, June 29, cooked 100 kilograms of glosor noodle together to enliven the fasting month of Ramadan, 1436 Hijriah, and celebrate the 533rd anniversary of Bogor. Glosor noodle is a tradition for Bogor people every Ramadan. The fried noodle served with peanut sauce is rarely found except in Ramadan. This is called mie glosor or glosor noodle because the noodle shape is small, round, and sleek. In addition, the event featured nutrition counseling. It was completed with Marawis performance by children in Cimanggu Wates village and contribution to orphans. Listener, we move now to the city of Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. Traffic force of precinct police stations or Polres in Tanah Bumbu, South Kalimantan, distributed takjil or meals to break the fast to road users who use the road orderly. Head of Traffic Force of Polres Tanah Bumbu, AKP Irwan Kurniadi SIK, said in Batilicin Wednesday, July 1, 2015, the event was held to commemorate the 69th National Police Anniversary. He added the police have prepared 250 to 300 portions of takjil to share with road users, including beca or pedicab riders. Besides distributing takjil, they also introduce orderly traffic. Listener, the last information comes from the city of Padang, West Sumatra. Researcher, who is also activist of reptile and salvator or lizard lovers community, Fahrul Reza, successfully identified 52 reptile species like snake, lizard, and turtle in the hilly area of Karamuntiang, Padang, West Sumatra. According to the research of the community and biology team of Andalas University, the 52 species consist of 3 taxons and 12 families. He revealed that the 3 reptile taxons are lizard or sauria, snake or serpentus, and turtle or testudinus. Meanwhile, biology academician from Andalas University, Wilson Novarino, stated, besides reptile, Bukit Karamuntiang also becomes a place where Sumatran tiger stops by. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with July 5, 1959. President Sukarno issues July 5, 1959 decree. A presidential decree was issued by Indonesia's first president Sukarno on July 5, 1959. The contents of this decree is the dissolution of the Constituent Assembly of the 1955 election results and the replacement of the Constitution of the Provisional Constitution of 1950 to the Constitution of 45. Presidential Decree 1959 was motivated by the failure of the Constituent Assembly to establish a new constitution as a substitute to the Provisional Constitution 1950. Members of the Constituent Assembly began convening on November 10, 1956. However, in reality, until 1958, it had not succeeded in formulating a constitution that was expected. While the opinions to return to the 1945 constitution was getting stronger. In response, the president then conveyed the message in front of the Constituent Assembly on April 22, 1959, recommending to go back to the 45 Constitution. On May 30, 1959, the Constituent Assembly held a voting. The result was 269 votes for the 1945 Constitution and 199 voted against. Over now to July 5, 1946, Bank Negara Indonesia or BNI is established. Bank Negara Indonesia was prepared and established on July 5, 1946 to be a circulation bank or central bank responsible for issuing and managing Indonesian currency. A few months after its founding, Bank Negara Indonesia began to circulate the first official means of payment, Uang Republik of Indonesia or abbreviated ORI. The figure that proposed the establishment of the central bank or bank circulation and who was also the founder of the first managing director of Bank Negara Indonesia was Raden Mas Margono Joyo Hadikusumo. In 1955, the role of Bank Negara Indonesia turned into a development bank and then got right to act as a foreign exchange bank. In line with the capital increase in 1955, the status of Bank Negara Indonesia turned into a commercial bank through the Emergency Law No. 2 of 1955. Last is 2004, the first direct presidential election in Indonesia is held. The first direct presidential election in Indonesia was held in two rounds on July the 5th and September the 20th, 2004. Prior to a 2002 amendment to the Constitution of Indonesia, the president and vice president were elected by the country's top legislative body, the People's Consultative Assembly. Under the new amendment, a candidate pair is elected into office after receiving more than 50% of the vote nationally, with at least 20% of the vote in more than half of the provinces in Indonesia. If no pairs receive the amount of votes required, the election will continue into the second round, with the pairs receiving the highest and second highest number of votes, and further regulations set by the General Election Commission stated that each pair must be nominated by a political party or coalition of parties which received at least 5% of the popular vote or 3% of the seat to the People's Representative Council in the April legislative election. The incumbent President Megawati Soekarnoputri was elected into office in 2001 after the legislature impeached and removed her predecessor, President Abdurrahman Wahid, often known as Gus Dur, from office. Megawati's re-election bid was challenged by four candidates, including incumbent Vice President Hamzah Has in the first round. Former cabinet member and retired General Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono received a plurality of the valid ballots submitted, followed by Megawati. Yudhoyono eventually defeated Megawati with 60.62% of the valid ballots in the second round. He was inaugurated as the sixth president of Indonesia on October 20, 2004. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati. Listener, the Central Statistic Agency or BPS reported that inflation throughout June 2015 reached 0.54%. This amount increases compared to May with deflation up to 0.50%. In BPS report, 76 cities experienced inflation and 6 others experienced deflation. The highest inflation is in Sorong, 1.90%, while the lowest one is in Palu, Central Sulawesi, reaching 0.03%, and the highest deflation is in Tual, Southeast Maluku, with minus 0.80%. BPS Chairman Suryamin said in a press conference on Wednesday, July 1st, inflation in June happened because of rising price in some groups of expense, namely food ingredients group up to 1.60%. In addition, the second price rise is shown in beverage and cigarette group up to 0.55%. Health group with inflation by 0.32%, followed by transportation, communication and financial service, reaching 0.28%. Regarding the report, Director of Communication Department at Bank Indonesia, Peter Jacobs, said inflation in June increased a little bit compared to inflation in the previous month, which reached 0.50% or month-to-month, or 7.15% for year-of-year. It was mostly boosted by food price rise ahead of Ramadan fasting month. Peter Jacobs added that Bank Indonesia should pay attention to various risks that affect inflation, especially world oil price, exchange rate, administered prices adjustment, and El Nino effect. Meanwhile, Chief Economist of PT Bank Negara Indonesia, Rian Kirianto, said the inflation amount is beyond the prediction of economists. Rian Kirianto predicted that inflation in the 6 months is about 0.65% or month to month. However, it turns to decrease. Meanwhile, for year-to-year inflation, it is predicted to reach 7.4%. According to Rian, the change is caused by the rising 9 main commodities or sembako price ahead of Ramadan and Lebaran festivity. Economic observer from Pajajaran University, Ina Primiana, revealed that the rising food and transportation price contributes a lot in the increase in June. It all happens because price of goods tends to rise ahead of Lebaran festivity. Even so, Ina Primiana added, people's decreasing purchasing power affects consumption. The decreasing consumption also reduces the rising inflation. And listener, that was highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is Week in Review featuring several important events happened during this week. We start from Monday. The Indonesian government did not mind that the Indonesian private sector will build 20 hospitals in Myanmar in the next 3 to 5 years, although none of the hospitals will be built in Rakhine State, where most of Rohingya people are living. The spokesperson of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia on Monday said, the investment from Indonesian businessmen in Myanmar proves that the Indonesian government supports the process of the economic reform in Myanmar.
In fact, this is consistent with what the Indonesian government always delivered, that we support the economic reform process in Myanmar. Therefore, this is in line with the decisions to invest there. It was purely private. They saw an opportunity to invest, there are opportunities to generate good profit, they invest.
Furthermore, Armanata Nasir said, although there are developed countries reducing their investment in Myanmar due to the Rohingya case, the Indonesian government continues to encourage Myanmar to improve the democratic system in the country. As reported earlier, an Indonesian private business group with business line in banking, property and health will build 20 hospitals with the best services in neurosurgery field as first step of hospitals transformation in Myanmar. On Tuesday, President Joko Widodo has voted to slash the interest rate on smallholder business credit to 9% next year from 22% this year. President Joko Widodo said while launching a program to revitalize 1,000 traditional markets at Manis Market in Kedungwuluh Village, Banyumas District, the interest rate on smallholder business credit KUR will decline because the government will subsidize it. Furthermore, Jokowi emphasized the need for micro, small and medium-scale businesses to have permits so they can have easy access to funding from banks. This year, the government will allocate 900 billion rupiahs to subsidize interest on the smallholder business, and next year, the president affirmed the government will increase the subsidy to 7 trillion rupiahs to ensure that the interest rate does not burden micro, small and medium businesses. The smallholder business credits, KUR, is a program aimed at expediting economic growth through the empowerment of visible micro, small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. On the same day, villages, disadvantaged regions and Transmigration Minister Marwan Jafar warns local governments to participate in assisting candidates for transmigration by improving the program that aims to boost the welfare of citizens. In his statement released in Jakarta on Tuesday, as quoted by Antara, the minister said that local governments can interact with citizens every day, which can help them select potential candidates to become transmigrants. The minister pointed out that detailed information about the transmigration program should be disseminated comprehensively, including data on educational and health facilities that will be provided. He affirmed The government will also build infrastructure facilities such as places of worship, schools, medical centers, and other supporting services in transmigration settlement areas. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged the National Police to improve public services by ensuring security and bringing legal certainty to them. Acting as the inspector of the ceremony to commemorate the National Police 69th anniversary, commonly known as Bayangkara Day, in Jakarta's southern outskirts of Depok on Wednesday, President Jokowi said that public confidence in the police can be developed through eradication of practices that harm their sense of justice. Eradication of all forms of crimes needs to be done firmly and professionally to ensure legal certainty and a sense of justice. The president also encouraged the police to improve its capabilities by incorporating developments in science and technology in methods to fight crime. According to President Jokowi, in the fight against crime, it is crucial that the police establish synergy and cooperation with other law enforcement officials and stakeholders, including support from the community. On Thursday, Indonesian Trade Ministry cooperates with Garuda Indonesia to take advantage of the national flag carrier. The cooperation also aims to increase trade and to realize good governance at the Ministry of Trade. The cooperation was marked by the signing of a memorandum of understanding by the Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel and President Director of Garuda Indonesia M. Arif Wibowo on Thursday in Jakarta. On the occasion, Rahmat Gobel said the role of air transport services is essential to increase trading activity.
Merupakan upaya meningkatkan, memberikan kemudahan kepada fasilitas dari Garuda, kemudahan untuk para
It is an effort to provide convenience from Garuda facility, especially for Indonesian exporters, to the rest of the world. As we know that the Ministry of Trade targeted a 300% increase in exports. This is a remarkable figure that would require a breakthrough. What we can do, what services we can provide to our exporters and importers with which we have bilateral relations. Gobel realizes that Indonesia bilateral cooperation with various countries needs logistic support. On the same occasion, Garuda President Director M. Arif Wibowo said that this cooperation is a commitment of Garuda as national flag carrier to support government's programs. He hoped that such cooperation can contribute to improve Indonesia's economy. On Friday, a total of 6.5 billion passengers are predicted to fulfill the Soekarno-Hatta Airport in aid session 2015. The passenger surge occurred following the aid celebrations that accompanied by the holiday season. Indonesian Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan, when conducted unannounced inspections related to the readiness of aid holiday on Friday, July the 3rd, at Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Tangerang, said airports have to be prepared to handle the surge. Jonan asked Soekarno-Hatta readiness to welcome such surge. He said about 67% of travelers were predicted going through Soekarno-Hatta Airport. Jonan said if Soekarno-Hatta ready, the readiness possibility of all airports was the same. Welcoming aid homecoming, Jonan asked Angkasa Pura II to prioritize security and safety of passengers. He said the airport should also be proactive in maintaining the safety of passengers. Jonan said that there was no difference in security system at the homecoming 2015 with last year. Nevertheless, he said security was alerted of this season should still a better off with last season. The next day, Saturday, the Indonesian military TNI will pay compensation to all civilian victims who were killed in the Air Force Hercules C-130 tragedy in Medan, North Sumatra on Thursday. The Indonesian military spokesman, Major General Fuad Bahsa, said in Jakarta on Saturday that compensation would be paid off. The Indonesian military spokesman, Major General Fuad Bahsa, said in Jakarta on Saturday that compensation would be paid only to the civilian victims and not to servicemen killed in the accident. He said, as quoted by Kompas.com, the compensation will be paid only to relatives of servicemen who were killed in the accident. He said, however, that the TNI was still assessing the amount of compensation that would be paid to the civilian victims. Fuad said soldiers killed in the accident would obtain compensation from a state-owned social security program for servicemen, PT Asabri. He said the Indonesian military has never insured civilian passengers. All servicemen are registered with PT Asabri under the Occupation Accident Benefit Scheme. The ill-fated Hercules C-130 cargo aircraft crashed into the housing area in Medan Tuntungan in Medan, North Sumatra on Tuesday, killing 38 soldiers, 83 civilian passengers, and 8 local residents. Well, listener, that was Week in Review.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is news in brief from Dalat Pani. Bank Indonesia said that consumers' perception of the country's economic condition in June 2015 has dropped compared to the previous month based on a survey published by Bank Indonesia. The survey indicated that the economic condition index in June 2015 stood at 100.3, decreasing by 2.3 points from 102.6 in the previous month. Bank Indonesia estimated that credit growth in 2015 will reach 11-13% or lower than the previous forecast, which was at 15-17%. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo in Jakarta on Friday said that the disbursement of the government's budget for a number of projects would help boost credit growth in the second quarter of this year. Head of the Pekanbaru Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Service, Sugarin, stated in Pekanbaru on Saturday the Terra and Aqua satellites detected 36 hotspots indicating forest and plantation fires across Sumatra Island on Saturday morning. There are 11 hotspots in Jambi Province, 10 in Riau, 9 in South Sumatra, 2 each in Aceh and Lampung, and 1 each in North Sumatra and West Sumatra. Australian airline Virgin Airlines cancelled flights on Saturday to Bali from a number of cities in that country on fear of problems caused by volcanic ashes spewed by Mount Raung in East Java. On Thursday night, another Australian airline, Jetstar, already cancelled 6 scheduled flights to Bali for the same reason. To anticipate the surge in the number of passengers during the Eid al-Fitr holiday this year, a number of airlines at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport will prepare additional flights and seats. At least 128 extra domestic flights and international flights will be available starting 14 days before and 10 days after Eid al-Fitr Day. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin Program. For feedback about the program, you can send us email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. You can also send a letter to PO Box 1157, Central Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Listener, coming up next, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will take you to Jepara in Central Jawa Province to enjoy a unique culinary, horok-horok. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming at www.voi.co.id. Indonesia is a nation rich in culinary. There are diverse types of food that can be found from Sabang on the westernmost of the country to Merauke in the east, and each region has its own typical cuisine. Like Jepara in Central Jawa, which is one of the places in Indonesia that has some sort of culinary that has become a trademark, called horo-horo. Horo-horo, a typical original Jepara food which is now quite rare and hard to find in other areas. Horok-horok Jepara is made from aren or palm fruit flour, formed into small granules which look like pieces of styrofoam. It was tasty with chewy texture. This snack has been popular since the 1966. Its making process, however, is quite complicated and takes a long time, approximately 2 days. Thus, horok-horok today is increasingly scarce and quite hard to find. From the nutritional value, calories and carbohydrates in the palm flour is equivalent to the nutritional content of rice. Therefore, horok-horok used as a substitute for rice. As said before, making horok-horok is quite complicated. First, the palm flour is washed, then dried, after which it is roasted. After the flour is dried and it is then steamed. When it is cooked, it is poured into a container, then stirred by using a comb. Yes, a comb. It becomes supple and pliant, formed like small granules resemble styrofoam. Which makes horok-horok unique is the stirring process, which uses a comb. To add flavor, you can add a little salt and serve it with other extras such as meatballs, gado-gado, pecel, sate kikil, and others. All Although horo-horo has become increasingly scarce and quite hard to find, but in traditional market in Jepara, it is still sold. Thereby, horo-horo delights can still be enjoyed. The price is very affordable, with only 2,000 rupiahs, which is around 1 cent US dollars, you can taste the savory horo-horo. Its presentation is still traditional, wrapped in thick leaves. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring horo-horo, the unique culinary from Jepara, Central Java. If you are visiting Jepara, don't miss this horo-horo because this culinary is difficult to find elsewhere. Until tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topic.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition, we'll be discussing the topic of some Indonesian students who are to join the International Space Station, so stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program to www.voi.co.id. Surya University in Banten, in collaboration with Indonesia Transformation Network, are holding a program to send research students from Indonesia to the International Space Station in the USA. Since the announcement 2 weeks ago, the program has managed to form 2 teams, one from Surya University and the other is from Delhi High School in North Sumatra. Its team comprises of 10 students with the guidance of 2 local teachers. The program initiator, J.W. Saputro, revealed that he had lobbied the United States Space Agency, or NASA, for 2 weeks requesting a slot for the 2 teams to be taken in the ISIS rocket experiments. After the proposal was granted by NASA, Professor Saputro contacted his colleague in Indonesia, the physicist Johannes Surya. He agreed to hand over the search process for a team of high school students to Surya University. Professor Saputra added, the program is expected to provide inspiration to the young generation to produce world-class work. Besides, this program will be a test to what extent the science progress among Indonesian youth is. To realize this program, Professor Saputra and his team are working to raise funds to finance this project from various circles to pay for the cargo to be taken up to the International Space Station. He said to run the experiment, it will cost at least 200 million rupiahs, though he already got waivers from the NASA. Professor Saputra explained the cost is actually very low, considering that to launch a rocket to the station needs at least funds amounting to 70 million US dollars, equivalent to 1 trillion rupiahs. Besides getting cuts costs, the Indonesian team also get free training opportunities from NASA. As a first step, this program will dispatch the teachers of the 2 teams to receive training at NASA, which will be conducted at the end of July 2015. Professor Saputra, who got a doctoral degree at University of Wisconsin Madison, USA, said four teachers will get training in California. The student, meanwhile, will do some experiment at the International Space Station Laboratories in the United States in December 2015. The final results of the Indonesian students' research in the form of experimental module will be handed over by NASA in early January 2016 prior to its launching to the station on April 2, 2016. The Indonesian student research result will be taken in the SpaceX CRS-8 rocket. Every rocket that goes to the International Space Station will carry a weight of 2 tons. Professor Saputra wants the two teams of students to do experiments related to issues relevant enough to be applied in Indonesia. For example, the problem of rice or making tempeh, which is Indonesian typical soybean cake, in space. He added that the research result will be sent to the International Space Station and will be monitored through observation station on Earth. Well, that was Miss Leni today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listener, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Sutomo in West Kalimantan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese language. He said that our program is very great and informative, most interesting. Hello, Mr. Sutomo. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are really glad because you join our radio. And we hope you still keep listening to our broadcast. So please send your reception report. Well, Mr. Sutomo, we are looking forward to receiving your next letter or email. And thank you, special for you and our regular listener. We will play a religious song from Merpati Band entitled Sabar or Patient.
Kehilangan aku.
Listener, before we continue to answer emails, we'll introduce you to one of Indonesian bands, Merpati Band. Merpati Band is from Banjarsari, Ciamis, West Java. Starting from their hobbies, they established a band as a place to express their talents. On October 22, 2002, Rani, the vocalist, Andy, the rhythm and back vocalist, Liz, the guitarist, Ayus, the bassist, Bugil, the drummer, established Merpati Band. Merpati Band was named after a bird which is able to fly high with its two wings. It also symbolizes loyalty. In this definition, there is in conformity with the format, the vision and mission of this band, which spread the loyalty and peace. Merpati Band expects loyalty among its personnel. In the first album, Merpati Band includes 10 songs supported by senior musicians such as Baron at Colosseum and keyboard by Agung of Stay Band. They play pop romantic or alternative genre and also other genres to enrich their music. Merpati Band hopes that they will be able to reach their dream. Well, listener, that was a glimpse about one of Indonesian bands, Merpati Band. And before we play another song by Merpati Band, we will reply an email from Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. He said that on 24th of June, he listened to Exotic Indonesia program with RRI Ternate. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. How are you? Thank you very much for being our regular listener. And we really appreciate it because you always send your reception report of our broadcast in detail. Well, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, we are looking forward to receiving your next letter or email. Thank you. Listener, now we continue to reply an email from Muhammad Yasir Isfak in Pakistan. He is a member of Worldwide DX Club. In his email, Mr. Muhammad Yasir Isfak said that he really liked our service. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Yasir Isfak. Welcome to join our club. Thank you very much for your compliment and to our radio. As your request, we will send our QSL card as soon as possible. So please be patient to wait for it, okay? Thank you. Unfortunately, listener, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. So please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. And don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service. Or you can also follow our Twitter @VoiIndonesia. You can also join our Instagram, Voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, for your information, we are organizing Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, and we have aired the questions, and you can join the quiz by answering the questions. Who knows, you are one of the lucky winners to win the grand prize, namely visiting Indonesia for free. And for further information, you can visit www.voi.co.id. And you don't have to worry if you don't have passports. Just send your answers. We'll provide additional prizes for those who cannot win the first prize. Don't forget to send your entry, and because the quiz will end on August 10, 2015. The first prize winners will be invited to Indonesia in September. So hurry up before the quiz ends. Listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another song from Merpati Band entitled La Tahzan, or in English means Don't Be Sad. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Sedih, ku berserah padamu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.